Lord God, we thank you that you are worthy of our attention, that you are worthy of our adoration, and that you are worthy of our lives. And I pray that you would help Matt and us this evening to be aware of your Holy Spirit as it prompts and as it teaches us more about seeking growth in you. We pray that you'd give Matt peace and confidence to know that the things that he's sharing are not just a good idea that he's created, but they are true from you and they're for us today. Amen.
Thank you. Fantastic. Good evening, folks. Please, could you skip on three slides, Chris? That was from this morning. Here we go. Thank you. This is tonight. Different message. And I'm looking forward to coming to Crag next week and talking about some of this as well. Seeking growth in God's love. That's where we are headed. That's what we're looking at together from that psalm. Question for you. In fact, can we move on one slide? Yeah, thank you. Please remember what Nathan was saying earlier. When it comes to questions tonight, feel free to discuss on your tables or not. So this is the first one. Please respond however is most comfortable for you. But I'm encouraging everybody here to, if you would like to engage in a brief discussion. In the last 2 weeks, where have I seen God in my daily life? What's God been doing in each of our lives over the past 2 weeks? If you're able, please briefly tell those around you and give them a chance to have a go too. Thank you. Said everything that's great. Excellent. That was good timing, wasn't it? It would be wonderful if you want to talk about any of these things more to do so at the end, please. One thing that the Inspire movement encourage is for us to look at what God is doing in our lives so that we can respond to what his Holy Spirit is prompting us to do, so we can be more grateful for what he's doing, the small as well as the big, and so that we can be ready when he calls us to action. So the Inspire movement and the material over the next few weeks may well ask questions a bit like this, just to help us be a bit more aware or looking out for what God's doing. It's important that we think about what God's doing in our lives because we are, as Christians, if we are in Christ, we are disciples. We are followers of Jesus. We're also missionaries every day. Good to pray for Jill and other mission partners here at Headingley Evening, but we're all missionaries. So it's good to be aware of what God's doing. As Nathan said already, this is the first of a few sermons on the Inspire movement's way of life. And the four components of the way of life for Inspire and for us as Christians who are looking at this material, they are seeking growth in God's love, using disciplines, spiritual disciplines, or holy habits, if we prefer that term, engaging mission and sharing fellowship. And as I said this morning, Peter and I were talking a few weeks ago, and we realized these are so closely tied to our values as Cornerstone Baptist Church. So it's exciting and timely that we look at this stuff now. If you're part of a small group, by the way, I'm really sorry that the resources haven't arrived quite in time, but I do believe they'll be ready tomorrow, and if they are, I'll get them out. The 28th of March is a day in this room where we won't be having a Cayley, but we'll be doing something of, I mean, that'll be great, I'm sure. We'll be doing something of great spiritual significance. Together, we'll be worshipping God, there'll be teaching, there'll be food, there'll be great things to drink, there'll be fellowship together, and we'll be learning more about what we've heard in the teaching at the various gatherings throughout March. So that is a day that will really pull it all together. And if you're able, please sign up to come on the 28th of March. And if you don't know how, or it just feels like a bit too much hard work, tell me your name and any dietary requirements, and I will sign you up. Okay? Job done. But we're on this theme of seeking growth, and we need to make reference to the Bible passage that we heard. Did somebody say just eat? Can we have the next slide, please? Here's a question for you, just before we dive into the passage, and this is relevant to it. If you could eat anything you like right now, what would it be? If you could eat anything right now, prepared by anyone, delivered right here into this room, what would you eat? What would you have? Are you craving it, Owen? Really? Nice. Do you know? Fish and chips, thank you, Mavis. Just to go back to what Owen was saying, I do want to do justice to what you've just said. Do you know, I'm seeing more and more salted caramel stuff. It's lovely, isn't it? And fish and chips, yeah, maybe you could have, maybe, would you share? Would you share your fish and chips? Okay. Would you share them with others, or are they just for you? Okay, all right. Fish and chips, salted caramel ice cream, anything else? Sorry? Roast lamb, lovely. And who would have made it? Do you mind? Or anyone? Okay, just roast lamb. Great. Roast beef, why not? Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have it just by itself? Okay, great. Yeah, isn't it wonderful hearing what people... I don't know if I'm giving you inspiration for when you go home. Some of this sounds like effort. But you can get some of this ordered to you, can't you? Delivered. Or there's some good takeaways out here. Any advances on what we've heard? Chocolate, Black Forest Gatto. Excellent. I'm just giving you things to think about. It's all important. So I wonder, you know, some people answered out loud, some people didn't. But I wondered how many people were thinking about something quick and easy. Fast food. Or how many people, some people over here, were definitely thinking about food that truly satisfies. A really nice, wholesome meal. Meat and Yorkshire puddings and everything else. But I wonder, have you ever been as hungry for more of God as you have been hungry and hankering after those fish and chips or that ice cream or the KFC that you didn't mention, that boneless banquet you've been thinking about? I wonder, because sometimes I think we settle for a bit too little sometimes in our Christian walks, and sometimes in our hunger for physical food, we can settle for junk when we could have something really nice and really wholesome. We all know what it's like to be craving food and hungry. But what about hunger for God? That's what we're looking at in this passage. Hunger or thirst for God is what we're looking at in Psalm 63. And just before we look at that, John Piper, wonderful American Bible teacher, I used this quote at the small group meeting recently. John Piper once said that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Because he satisfies spiritual hunger and thirst. That's what God does. So David, when he wrote this psalm, was in the desert. We don't know quite what period of his life this was. He spent different periods in the desert. I've been to one or two deserts in the past, and observations are, it was hot. It was dry. There wasn't a lot of life that was evident. David was thirsty. David was hungry. We don't need to study these words that we've heard, the Bible in front of it, to really know that this was his experience at the time. So he could see what he was talking about, or he could see the lack of what he really craved, the water, maybe the food. He was desperate for sustenance, but here's the point for us. He craved more for God. He longed for more of God, more than he craved for the things that the everyday, you know, the sustenance. Because he realized he needed God every day, and he longed for more of God. David, a man after God's own heart, longed for more of God, and in many ways he's a role model for us. And there's a psalm that links with this, Psalm 42. There are similar words in the first couple of verses of Psalm 42, where the sons of Korah write, "As a deer pants for streams of water or flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, God, the living God. I wonder what in your life, and you don't have to answer this out loud, but I wonder what in your life you hunger or thirst most for. And I'm really not talking about food or drink here. I'm really not. But I wonder what in your life you long for the most. Somebody this morning on their way out said, my life would be fulfilled or complete if I was able to put Jesus first in everything. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we were able to do that? And what a thing to aim for, by the way. We should keep aiming for that. But I wonder what you hunger or thirst or long most for in your life. Not this, hopefully. It says in Proverbs 14, it speaks of delight when we are satisfied. It says in verse 19 of Proverbs 14 that a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. That's a nicer phrase, isn't it? And there is nothing better for our souls, for our lives, than the soul food, if you like, than what God provides. So the next question I would like to ask you is on the next slide. Thank you, Chris. How is hunger for God expressed at Cornerstone Baptist Church? It's good to have people here from different gatherings because you will have a different experience to bring to the table, as it were. I don't know what the answer to this question is. That's why I'm asking. How is hunger for God expressed at Cornerstone Baptist Church? Now, I wonder if anyone's feeling brave, you might want to call out. I know what. Why don't we have a brief discussion on our tables for those who feel so inclined, and then if anyone feels brave enough, perhaps we might take some answers. And if your response is I don't know, that is okay. Just interested. We're talking about longing and hunger, longing for more of God. What does that look like? Please have a quick chat if you feel able, and we'll have a chance to feedback afterwards. Folks, I hope that was a helpful conversation. I would love to hear what your responses were. First, a public apology. I'm afraid I misquoted a proverb and I've been found out. I didn't mean to. I took a photo of a Bible that was open, but I didn't take a photo of the whole page. So, lesson learned. It was Proverbs 13:19 that said, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. Thank you. Do you forgive me? Thank you, Sue. Thank you. Peter doesn't forgive me. Oh, dear. So I wonder how we got on with that question. I'm not saying we necessarily have all the answers, but I'm really interested. How is hunger for God expressed at Cornerstone Baptist Church? How do we react to this question? What do we think? If anyone's feeling brave enough, please do call out an answer. How you live your life.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Hunger for God.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Coming to our Alpha course, yes. That's really good. Discipleship explored at Crag. And somebody over here observed that it's good. The guests coming on those courses show their hunger for God. But hopefully so do the team as well. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah. Great. And again, that goes back to the daily life stuff, I reckon. Yeah. Somebody, any more initial thoughts? I won't drag this out, but Barbara.
That's so countercultural to be Christian or attend worship.
Yeah. Thank you. So what we heard over here was it's now so countercultural to go to church and things like that, that that by itself, by attending, can be a sign of hunger for some. I think, you know, there is a risk that some may come out of duty or I've always done that or even obligation. But I think there is something in that. Yeah. Somebody else said that people who serve, which hopefully if we're members of the church, should be all of us, we show our hunger by what we do, doing what God's called us to do. It may also be true that it's hard to be known by many. So it takes time to build relationships. And the few people who do know us well, which hopefully in the church we might be building those relationships that we can all have them, they will know more about where we're at and can encourage us in our hungering and in our longings. I'm sure there's more answers than that, but it was good just to hear some initial thoughts. Thank you for engaging with that. I think I'll leave that slide up for a while. If we are hungry for more of God, as I said this morning at Headingley Morning, hear the words of Jesus who said, "I am the bread of life," and he gives us the water of life by his Spirit. There is no one who can satisfy our spiritual longings, our search for meaning, more than Jesus. Please pray for those folk on Alpha, that they can come to know Jesus themselves. There's a guy called Paul Brand. I've got no idea who he is, but he said something, and I like it. So I'm just going to quote what he said. He said, "Hungry people don't complain about the menu." And I liked that, and I wrote it down. But having thought about it, I want to disagree with that. I've seen many hungry people. I've seen a beggar say, "No, I don't want that. I want..." Not that I was trying to give him something he didn't want, but he seemed quite fussy. And I've seen Christian brothers and sisters, complain about food that was cooked for them. It cost them nothing. They weren't happy. The plates were cold, for one thing, and the spaghetti looked like worms. And what's going on? It was lovely. Why complain? I actually think we shouldn't complain about the menu. And that, I can mean that in any context, really, can't I? What's on the menu for us here? Not just another service. Not just another meeting, another thing to come to. What is on the menu in our relationship with God? Every time we meet together, what should be on the menu is life in all its fullness.
Jesus,
absolutely. He satisfies that need, doesn't he? He satisfies our souls. But life in all its fullness is on the menu. What that looks like, we live into, I think. We keep going with him. We grow in his love, as so many people, inspirational people in Scripture did. I don't believe that we should settle for our current Christian experience and think that we have arrived or that we've made it. There is more. I've heard many people give their testimony. What they mean by that is how they became a Christian or what God did many years ago. But what did God do today that we want to thank him for? That's why questions like that first one are so important. He's always at work, isn't he? And when Jesus promised us life in all its fullness, what that says to me is that's an invitation for us to receive and to live. And what that says to me is we shouldn't settle for anything less than life in all its fullness, because God wants to give. I wonder if you long for more of God, because I've said this before, I think here, but I believe even David, someone so inspirational for his faith and his psalms and for much of his life, I believe we can have a closer walk with God than David did. Many people long for what God can do for them, but David longed for God himself. He said he'd worshipped him in the sanctuary and he hungered and he thirsted for God, not for God to do more for him, but for God himself to grow in that relationship. And that's what Christian discipleship is. It's a relationship with the living God for us through Jesus and the Holy Spirit he's made available to us. What's really important to healthy discipleship is that we keep seeking Jesus, that we keep seeking to grow in his love. If you look at verse 3, if you've got your Bible open, David said, "Your steadfast love is better than life." Many people live in that they exist. Many Christians live in that they exist. But God's love is better than life. It's the love from the Holy Spirit within us. More love that helps us to grow. That helps us to be more and more the people God's called us to be. I wonder if you ever think about what is the goal of my life in Christ? What is the aim of Christian discipleship? It's more than a ticket to heaven, isn't it? The goal of Christian discipleship or spiritual maturity is having a heart filled with the Spirit of love. And it's the perfect love from Jesus by his Spirit that creates a life transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. The more we know Jesus and become like him, the more we long for more of God. David didn't have the privilege of knowing Jesus. He didn't have the privilege of having the Holy Spirit in his life all the time in the way that we can. Yet look at his words. He longed, he thirsted, he hungered for more of God. I wonder if this table represents, if the end of this table represents the moment of conversion where we become Christians. And if the end of the table represents this is Jesus. I wonder where we would say we are at in our life as Christian disciples. I'm not asking you to come forward and make a mark on the table or to say where you think you're at. But when we become Christians, it's this term justification, a theological term. God looks at us just as if I'd never sinned. Wonderful term. We've been justified when we are saved. So if you think about it, this is the moment of being justified or saved, and over here, this is when we become like Jesus. Okay, this is when we've made it. I wonder where you would stop me if I said, "Where are you?" Hopefully, none of us would have the audacity to say we're over here. If we are born again, believers, we are recipients of God's grace, and we need his grace daily. But being born again or saved is not the end. It's a beginning. And baptism is not the beginning. It's a marker. It's significant. Do get baptized. Talk to Peter or myself if you're interested in that. It's God's calling on you. But none of us are yet where God calls us to be. I'm not leaving you to go home demoralized. I'm trying to call you up to know more of Jesus, not know more about him, have a closer relationship with him. Can we have the next slide up, please, Chris? Oliver Twist. How many of you have read the story or watched the films? Great. You probably know more than I do then. I know that Oliver Twist was an orphan. And he said, "Please, sir, can I have some more?" And what response did he get? Exactly. A very, more? You know, like a very sort of... This guy was really, really sort of put out that he'd had the audacity to ask... He was hungry. Of course he asked for more. And from the little that I know about the story, it didn't go very well for little Oliver immediately after that. Someone will correct me at the end. Like Oliver Twist, the Bible tells us that before we come to know Jesus, we are spiritual orphans. But to all who trust in Jesus, God has given the right to become children of God. What a privilege it is to be God's son or daughter. And there's a couple of verses from the New Testament, and these are the right references. And I'd love to just really briefly read these to you as an invitation for us to take them seriously. So the first is Matthew 7:11. I will read it, but you're welcome to look at it as well. Matthew 7:11. What we're talking about here is seeing God as a heavenly Father. This God that David sought more of. This God that David longed for. So Matthew 7:11. Just to make reference to this. Jesus says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" That's wonderful, isn't it? Even though we make mistakes, even though we were born into sin, and that there is, you know, the tendency, the struggle with good and evil inside all of us, we still know how to give good gifts to our children or to others. But how much more will God the Father give good gifts to those who ask? Which suggests we can ask. And Luke 11:13 is very similar to this. Luke 11:13. Jesus says, there is a difference here, but it starts off quite similar. Luke 11:13. "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And the Holy Spirit is the best gift that we can receive from Jesus. He is the one who transforms us. Little by little, as we walk with Jesus, he is the one who does the work of sanctification, that thing about growing as a Christian, becoming more like Jesus. So, looking at what Jesus said in those verses, here is a prayer God will always answer. Here is a prayer that God will always answer if we are only willing to pray. And the prayer goes like this: "Lord, fill me. Please would you fill me with your Holy Spirit." That's it. They're not magic words. But it's us seeking a deeper relationship with God through the Spirit of Jesus, who Jesus made freely available to all of us. And Paul, in the New Testament, he uses the phrase, "keep on being filled with the Spirit." The reason for that is because he knows we leak. We get distracted. We sin. We forget sometimes about God having his rightful place in our lives. We leak. So we are to keep on being filled with the Spirit. It does. Pardon?
Persevere,
absolutely. That's what I'm talking about, Mavis. Yeah. Keep on asking. I believe God will always answer that prayer. And we need the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who came upon David and empowered him to beat Goliath. The Spirit who came upon David and inspired him to write those Psalms and do so many other good things throughout his life. David knew God's presence in a whole variety of different ways. He is the best king that Israel ever had, apart from Jesus. God filled David's heart with worship. And David knew him to be a personal God. If you've still got the original passage open, he says, "Oh God, you are my God." Is God your personal God? "Earnestly I seek you," he says. I wonder what our seeking looks like. I wonder if our seeking looks good when there isn't anything good on Netflix or whatever it might be that will distract us. I wonder if we, I believe we can, earnestly seek God and put him first. Like that person who was talking to me earlier said, my life would only be fulfilled if only I could put Jesus first in all things. There's no better thing to aim for. Because of God's faithfulness, he enabled David to have a descendant on the throne, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who not only gave up his life out of love for us and everybody else, but also freely makes his spirit available to all who will ask. We will not get turned away like Oliver Twist when we go to our loving Heavenly Father and ask that he would give us anything he wants to give us. More of your love, Lord, please. More of your power. More of your guidance. More of the fruit of your spirit. May that grow in me, Lord. I don't know what you would love to ask God for today. I'm not promising he will answer every prayer with a yes, because that would be wrong. We might be asking for the wrong things or at the wrong time. But he is a loving Heavenly Father who only gives good gifts, and he promises, Jesus promised that he would give his spirit to us if we ask. Do you long for more of this generous, loving God? If you do, sign up to come on the 28th of March if you can. Will you actively seek that deeper walk with God that we are called to and is on offer to us? We don't need to complain about the menu, because it's the best menu there could ever be. David, in his close walk with God, before Jesus had come, I believe that he had nibbled some of the life that we are called to. I believe he tasted it. I believe he tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and that spurred him on to want more. But we can feast. We can feast on that life. We can feast on all that God wants to give us. You know I'm not talking about physical food here, don't you? Although actually, when we take communion, I sometimes think, that is a really small piece of bread. And that is a very tiny glass. I know that it has to go round everyone, and short of a miracle, it has to be like that in a big church context. But sometimes I think, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a huge hunk of bread and a big glass of juice or wine for all of us? Because there is so much more of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit for us to know and love and experience and receive from than I think we sometimes dare to believe. Or maybe that's just me. So let's not eat spiritual junk. Let's eat and drink and ask for more of the spiritual food that Jesus wants to give us by his Spirit. Amen. Thank you. I've nearly finished. There is one more slide. And these are, you might call them outgoing questions. And if you can't read them, I'll read them out loud. Just for you to think about before we pray. What or who helped me long for more of God? And what or who pulls me away from Jesus and quenches the Spirit? What it says at the bottom in the very tiny font is, why not resolve to seek growth this week? Sign up for the 28th of March. I'm just going to leave those questions with you for a moment so that you can silently think about them, and then I'll lead us in a prayer that is based on this. As you're thinking or praying, it's worth saying that if you'd like to be prayed with at the end, there are people available, myself, Nathan, Peter, others. It would be great if you would like to be prayed with or to talk to someone, if you could take advantage of that. Please do that if that's you. The questions are up on the screen just to help you think and to help me think about our walk with God. What brings us closer? What pulls us away? We can choose to respond in the most appropriate ways to that. I'm just going to lead us in a prayer activity to end. You don't need to move around. You can just stay as you are. And actually, I think you're going to be good at this, because you are doing 50% of it already. Okay, I'm just going to ask you to keep breathing. So that's half of it. And I'm just going to lead us in some words. You don't need to repeat them. It's just, if you want to make these your prayer as you breathe in and out, I'd invite you to do that. Remember I was saying that the Holy Spirit is freely available? Jesus said, so much more will the Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit. The idea is that we breathe out the things that pull us away from God. As we breathe physically out, we can think about those things. And as we breathe in, as we take in breath, that gift that we've been given, the idea is that we breathe in the Holy Spirit. And this is something we can do anywhere we are in the world, any day, any time we want. It's just a little thing that you might find helpful. So you're already doing half of it. Please keep doing that. And if you want to engage silently in the prayer activity, just as you're breathing in and out, I'll just lead us in a few words. And then I'll finish. So, Lord Jesus, I breathe in your Holy Spirit. And I breathe out the things that scare me. Lord Jesus, I breathe in your Holy Spirit. And I breathe out my current level of faith. Lord Jesus, I breathe in your Holy Spirit and I breathe out the things that pull me away from you. Lord Jesus, I breathe in your Holy Spirit and I breathe out the lies that the devil whispers to me. Lord Jesus, I breathe in your Holy Spirit. And I breathe out anything I long for more than I long for you. And in the quiet, as you continue to breathe, you might want to just silently do some of your own before the end. Father, thank you that you are a loving Heavenly Father. Please help us to seek you and all you have for us in daily life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm about to sing our final song, which is In the Light of Your Mercy. If you can, I would invite you to stand to join in with that. Just a reminder, once the service is finished, if you would like to talk to someone or be prayed with, please make that known.